Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Joseph Gibson here, Blog Talk Radio, Understanding the Times We Live Today. We're on with the Republic, and they have a special guest, so I'm going to go ahead and mute myself. 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast. Back to you, President Geiger.
Thank you, Dr. Joe. And just for the benefit of the recording here, just introduce your radio show and who you are. And we're simulcasting on your station, so you can give us an intro.
Hello. Yes.
Hello,
yes.
Mr. President.
Okay, this is. Hang on one second there.
The
hang on one second. Yeah,
started.
This is.
All right, everybody. We're
all together tonight. We're recording right now, Gator. You're a little bit late. Go ahead and start, Gator.
All right, we're a little bit late. Not a problem, everybody, man. It's great to be back, everyone, right here for thepeopleradio.com tonight, hosting for all our great, great patriots and Americans around our country. Plain and simple. I mean, I'm telling you, everybody, it's just great to come together tonight. And, Mr. President, I'm sorry I'm a little late, but we are here to
muted.
Roll with it. Let's go with it. We are live, everybody, right here, forthepeopleradio.com. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Gator. And we have one more intro here because we are simulcasting with Dr. Joe.
Unmuted.
So, I'll give you the floor for a minute just to tell your people about your radio station there.
Hey, how you doing? How's everybody doing tonight? It's good to be here with everybody. My name is Joseph Gibson, podcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina. The show is called Understanding the Times in Which We Live Today, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. God bless the Republic.
Thank you, Dr.
Muted.
We do have a special guest with us this evening. His name is Gil Bizard. I've known of him and spoke to him now for a number of years, and he's going to be talking to us tonight about a planet that's headed our way. He's coined the term Planet 7X, which distinguishes his research from a lot of other information that you may find on the Internet that's it's not accurate. So he's done a wonderful job. He's devoted the past 14 years or more of his life to the study of and how it relates to a biblical history and history as we know it, mankind's history. That some of it's documented in the Bible. Other things are documented in other historical records. Some of the new evidence that he's come up with here recently have to do with Incas and Egyptians and what have you, where they made records of the passing of this planet. And so my first question for Gil, and I'm going to go ahead and open this up very quickly. He's got a lot to share with us this evening. So, Gil, I'm going to open up the floor to you, and please tell us about your new evidence you've come across.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be on your show today. And yes, we made some. I have made some recent findings. We came across first it was a ceiling art that was in the Temple of Hathor. This is a second finding. We already have one, which was pertaining to Lot. Time frame, but this one gives us a different time period, and it gives us the time frame of the Tower of Babel, and it shows the planets and what constellation they were in. It gives us the day side, and it gives us also the nighttime sky, which is below the horizon, and it shows our planet in there as well, and as well as theories of the planet, because we're talking. This is the first event after the flood of Noah, and Ceres was still a planet. it didn't get destroyed till around the time of the Exodus. That's why the object was moving about 1/20th its normal speed, and you had 3 days of darkness instead of 3 hours of darkness. And wanted to find it. Gives us the, you know, whenever you show a artifact that gives us all of the known planets and the sun and the moon and what constellations they were lining up with, it gives you the, and it shows you what's in the horizon, the view of the horizon. But you can date that within 2 hours of the event. Because there's 12 constellations, Earth is rotating, you know, in a 24-hour period. So it tells you every 2 hours, a constellation either goes out of view and a new one is coming up. So for us to frame this exactly the way they show it, with the planets and the moon and star, you know, and the moon and the sun and everything in the correct position, it gives us an accuracy of roughly about 2 hours on many of these artifacts we have. And then we also have another one we found, which was a...
Let me interrupt you just a moment, and let's emphasize to the people why it's so important when you find an artifact like that and you can align that with the date that the artifact is dated, and therefore you can make a connection with the sky. So before you go to the next artifact, maybe explain that just a tiny bit for folks so they understand that connection.
Sure. Call it the God's clock or a cosmic clock in the sky. Like the moon has to have a 27-day point, 8-hour rotation, and it means it moves right through the zodiac, the signs of the zodiac. Same thing with Mercury. Mercury has an 88-day orbit. Venus has a 224-day orbit. Mars has a 687-day orbit. Jupiter, 11.86 years, and Saturn, 29 years. And these are the items, the planets and moons and sun, that they were able to visually see without any type of telescope. This is naked eye observation. So when they're in orientation with a constellation, like from the zodiac, the 12 constellations, it's like wearing a wristwatch with about 8 hands on it. Okay, so it gets you within 2 hours of the event, and it never duplicates this twice. The same arrangement. So, what's also interesting is that we have artifacts backed up by astronomy that lines up with the ages of the patriarchs in the Bible, of the event that they're describing. We have events like, Job, all of his herds and the shepherds, they were totally consumed. There was no evidence of their bodies. That means they were vaporized. And then the great wind knocked down the building that his daughters and his sons were celebrating, which is the celebration of Passover or Feast of Unleavened Bread, one of the two, that the great wind is the pressure wave from a exploding asteroid or meteor over the group, over the flock, pulverized the shepherds and animals, and the pressure wave knocked down the building. We also have evidence of that happening at Sodom and Gomorrah. We have they found the area in Jordan on the banks of the Dead Sea, and those buildings showed a large explosion that was so hot, it was so intense that it cooked the face of the brick, changing it to a different color, they found Trinidad at the site, which the only time that we've been able to find Trinidad is through a nuclear explosion in the desert where it turned sand into glass. They found Trinidad there, pieces. They found parts of bodies that were thrown apart at an explosion, ripped their arms and their legs off of the body, and the ends were burned with fire because it was exposed. And this is exactly what vaporized Lot twice, where nothing left but the shadow was left on the stone. It would be, remember, it doesn't say that God turned into a stone. It's a description of people who looked far. That's the only thing, because they didn't have any words like vaporization. They didn't know what happened. But they could see the perfect outline of her. That happened in Nagasaki when there was atomic explosions there. Well, you don't need the atomic, nature has a bigger one. You have a meteor coming down, it makes a mushroom cloud, just like the ancient prophet says, where the skies rolled away like a scroll, like a mushroom cloud. Well, meteors that are making a large impact will also do the same thing. Give you the same level of destruction that many people think this is talking about a nuclear war in the Bible. Not necessarily. It's talking about fiery hail. Fiery hail is will be a meteor shower, and this has happened multiple times in its past. We've got, 15 events now listed in the biblical record, and another 5 secular, where this comes around approximately every 360 years. It doesn't have a stable orbit. That's an approximate, because it depends on if it bumps into anything. It had a head-on collision with Ceres, and we can see the sequence of events starting with the Exodus, that only 55 years later, we have Joshua's long day, because it didn't have enough speed to go out into deep space. It took 4 more times around the sun before it gained its normal orbit. So you have this 55-year segment, another 121 years after that, 297. Then it gets to 358, which brings you the time of King Hezekiah, when the shadow went backwards on steps. 10 steps. It's not a sundial. That was Earth tilting 26 to 28 degrees. That's happened at least twice, possibly 3 times. That when the planet gets close enough to Earth, it's like 2 magnets where the opposite poles attract, and Earth tilts 26 to 28 degrees. And then as it's passing by, it straightens out. It comes back anywhere between 4 to 7 degrees from its normal geographic pole. It doesn't come exactly to the same area. That changes growing seasons for certain areas that have a narrow band instead of a tall, wide one. Those narrow bands no longer can grow the same type of food. It has a different season. And so this has caused massive starvation in the past, and it's going to do that again here coming up. The Bible lists this in the book of Revelation as the worst time in all of Earth's history. Noah's flood was not the worst. This next time this planet comes around is the worst. You're going to have the 12-hour delay like Joshua's long day, where Earth would slow down on its rotation. There's a ancient prophet, I think it might be Jeremiah, I'm not quite sure, but it says, I'll turn the day into night and the night into day. An eclipse can only turn off the light in the day. It doesn't bring you light at night. What that is describing is a 12-hour delay that as Earth is turning, it's slowing down. Now noon is midnight and midnight is noon. That's going to happen again. That changes the target zone. They will predict that the meteor shower will hit the Middle East, but they're not taking this into account of Joshua's long day actually really happened, because that's Earth going through the plasma tail of a comet. the new physicist model of the universe is much more accurate than the astronomy model. Gravity is not the ruling, the major ruling force. It's electromagnetic fields are. And that the tail of the comet is not ice particles, it's plasma. And I have a video from an amateur astronomer from Spain who filmed, NASA was filming it, and they had a 10-second delay for the public to see it. And when the tail of the comet hit Mars, it lit up like a light bulb. Now, keep in mind that that comet was only about a half a mile across, and Mars is about 95% of the diameter of Earth. And it lit up that entire planet. And NASA pulled away, showing us a distant view. You couldn't tell what actually happened. Thanks to this amateur astronomer, he captured it. Bet against them that, no, it wouldn't, that it's ice particles. Well, this new physics model on the universe proves out Joshua's long date. And it's going to prove out how Earth slows down in the book of Revelation. It's because Earth is entering into the tail for the last 3 days of its approach. And that causes not quite total darkness, but you're in the shadow of it because the tail points opposite of the sun, and so it would give you where it blocks out the sun, basically. But you'll have the aurora borealis on the northern and southern poles coming all the way down to the equator, and it's going to howl like a trumpet. It's going to be so active because it's a plasma hitting the Earth, and it's going to be very, very active. So it's... we're in for some very, very interesting times here coming up.
Well, Gil, I did interrupt you, and I'll let you get to your second new finding you found.
Second was a Mayan artifact, the Pacal's tomb. Pacal designed his own tomb and the inscription, and for many, many, many years, it puzzled many people on what was it actually saying. And it's actually given us a date. It actually shows Planet X. I have a drawing of it. It shows, again, the moon, the constellations, the planet, where they were in their constellations. It lines up with the time period that the geologist said that there was a major drought. This thing brings 7 years of drought on average. 3.5 year drought or famine per se, 3.5 years coming in and 3.5 years as it's leaving, a total of 7. And this destroyed about 90% of the Mayan civilization. Towards the end of this, they were turning to cannibalism. Even they found bones where they were with knife marks on it that they knew that they were. They had reached the point of where it was cannibalism. And this destroyed the Mayans. And King, observing it in March, and it specifically says that he died August 26th. That happens to be exactly 151 days later. And I had estimated the width of the orbit of our planet between 150 to 152 days separation. Because the calendar changed during Hezekiah globally. The calendar year was actually 360 days after the time period of Hezekiah became 365 1/4 days. Because when it passed so close to Earth, it drug us outward slightly. And that it increased the diameter of Earth's orbit around the sun. And that's why we have this difference in time. And so you have to compensate for that for any older object or artifact beyond the 700 BC range, because the software in astronomy doesn't take that into account. So this confirms the actual date and day and an hour when the planet X passed within, again, of accuracy of about 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours. And we're, and then the last one, that's the most recent, was one from the Incas. Someone sent this to me 4 or 5 years ago, and I never could figure it out until recently. It was a gold plate in Cusco, Peru, that the Incas made, and it's also depicting when this planet comes. And it also gives us a date. And this lines up with a medieval drawing of the date of 1374. This was Constantinople, the painting was, showing meteor shower, trees being snapped because of the quake, land being uplifted, people holding their stomachs because of hunger, buildings are falling apart, and people tend to write this off, well, that's Hades. Hades doesn't give you a meteor shower. Hades doesn't give you a series of earthquakes. It doesn't give you the droughts associated with this. When you put all of these associations, these different side effects, you're talking about this major planet. It's a planet-sized comet. It's not a mini solar system. It's not many other things that the internet said. The best description for this is a planet-sized comet. And it has a very strong magnetic field. It's mostly made of metallic, some sort of a metal, probably mostly iron, because we've been feeling the effects of the magnetic pull for many, many years. Its magnetic effect is stronger than Jupiter. Jupiter's four. In fact, it warped our tilt. Our tilt has a wobble in it, and it's drawn to the south. When you read a white paper report, scientific article, when you're talking about universal south, that's towards Sagittarius. This is where this object is coming from. And we need to pay close attention between Sagittarius and Capricorn at the moment for the next few years. We don't know the exact year that it's going to arrive, but we can tell by the symptoms that Earth is going through. It mirrors exactly the symptoms of the past, and it is getting extremely near to us. So the Bible gives us a clue when it will arrive. If the moon has to be at the foot of Virgo, well, right now, in 2021, the moon would be at the foot of Virgo at the end of March. So if this is the year, then we should see it probably August and September, all throughout that time until it arrives, following March. We have the Chinese astronomers that start for 13 months coming in. 13 months, even a total of 26 months. You can only see an object that it has to be planet size for that length of time. That's not a normal object. And we have the orbit from their data. They gave us enough good information and accuracy where we could plot an orbit. And the gap between where it crosses Earth's planetary first orbital path has a gap of about 150 days apart. Noah, that's exactly like the book of Revelation, where it says 5 months before the second meteor shower hits. We run into a debris field that's 150 days later. Remember, these people didn't know Kepler's laws of planetary motion. There's no way that they could have guessed the details in the proper sequence and orientation. It's impossible. And do it multiple times, 14 times in a biblical record and another 5 in secular. They can't consecutively lie not knowing the other individual and get the story correct with signs that they have yet to know. It's impossible. Especially when the artifact is drawn by astronomy with the signs that they didn't know about. They have those three coordinated with the patriarch's ages. That's impossible to fake. But science is in astronomy. You take observed phenomena, bring it into the laboratory, which is basically software, and reproduce it. That's science, and that's provable. We have provable artifacts, provable events, the sequence of events, and the time frame. This is a real object, and it's coming back. It's coming back. We have the serious effects. When the Bible says when the earthquake, the pains of a woman giving birth, know that it is near. We've been seeing earthquakes in an exponential climb for over 25 years. It's getting to the end of it now. Jacob's trouble is 20 years. So that 20 years ends up being around 2021. And now we have the moon at the foot of Virgo, like it says in the text. This concerns greatly. And I'll turn it back over to you then. If you have any questions or...
Gil, thank you. And we're going to open up the floor in just a few minutes for others to question you. But, you know, one of the reasons I wanted you to come to the show is because of what I see the government doing and what have you. And I know you've given a lot of thought to what the government might do as this thing were to approach. And I think we're seeing some of the things that they would do. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I know you've given it a lot of thought, and you're seeing some things happening too. Go ahead.
I've been watching Trump closely, okay? His body language tells me that put it this way, he's very open with his body language. Anybody can see that. He's not like your typical politician that would tell you something that he doesn't believe in. He's not aware of this planet yet, I don't believe. If he is, and I always said, probably 6-7 years ago, before this planet arrived, you have to see them put troops in the street. We're talking about armed troops. Right now they're not armed. They are troops in the streets, but they're helping. That without weapons, later, you probably see terrorism. You see a war in the Middle East. You have global terrorism in Western nations, and then you have to have troops in the streets with weapons. Okay, but they're not turning on the people. They're still defending it. All right, they'll have to stay in the streets to maintain order from riots. But you're going to see food rationing, maybe not as bad in the United States. Remember, the United States feeds in some form or fashion 80% of the rest of the world, whether in seed, fertilizer, chemicals, you name it, beef, pork, numerous ways. When there's a Middle East war, you're going to expect fuel to a barrel of oil to go up to about $100 to $150 a barrel. But that's too expensive to make fertilizer with. And it's too expensive for just traveling normal. And it's going to be limited supply. You're looking at about 80 to 90% of the oil market being cut off to Asia. And that's half the world population right there. You're looking at some of their major cities probably collapsing. After their reserve oil runs out, if it's a prolonged war of about 4 to 5 months, then you're looking at them running out of oil probably within 30, maybe a month to a month and a half. It's the maximum that they would have as a reserve. And you're looking at some of their major cities collapsing and massive starvation. India alone right now, I have a study that they had produced that showed half of their population, their population is greater than China right now. Over half of their population, over 600 million people right now, they're saying is going to have a severe water shortage. Now, when those people move to the counties or areas that are not in shortage, guess what that does? That causes them to have a shortage as well. So you're looking at massive starvation again in India. You're also looking at many countries. They've got countries that are have to import up to 70% of their food sources, whether seed, fertilizer, or grain, or cattle, or 70%. You're fixing to see massive migration of people or starvation, one or the other. So they're going to have to ration food. They're going to have to ration the fuel. They're going to ration money. That's a form of a bail-in. They're probably going to come out. They're going to exchange. You're going to see fiat money disappear. They're going to come out with probably an asset-backed currency, which would be the minerals within the borders of a country. Will be the assets tagged to the currency. It'll be more than just gold, silver, or anything. It'll be oil, sulfur, copper, whatever's on that list. Okay? And therefore, currency now will be like tied or deed to minerals whenever you have currency. Therefore, a bank now will accept any currency from any nation because it's now its asset. And you have a separate account for each different currency. And they'll put it in digital form because they won't be able to print up enough money when it switches over. So they'll be in a short period of time, and they will accuse the, it probably is true, that the paper money is a way of passing the virus around. So they're going to be digitizing a lot of this. And it's going to be a form of cryptocurrency, but not the form that you're looking at present, because that's fiat. This is going to be asset-backed crypto, that each country has its own crypto because it's tagged to their balance sheet and it's monitored. So that's going to come in, and that's how they control money. That's a form of rationing, if you want to call it. And this has to be done before now and possibly this next March. That's my estimate. My estimate is my best educated guess. We don't have a physical sighting of it yet. They have ways of blocking it through lasers. Lasers can project a hologram with a star pattern, and you can't see past it until it gets closer. So the Bible alludes that we have a short notice. And so it's been right so many times, I doubt if this is wrong. We are probably going to have a short notice. So just be aware, when the internet goes down and your attention is every place else but the sky, that's when you start looking up. You will see a comet-like object, and it won't be scary. It'll be a comet-like object. It has to be on the ecliptic. That's where the sun passes across the sky. And it's going to be between Sagittarius and Capricorn. You see a comet within that's going to do a retrograde motion. It's going to look like it's going backwards before it comes in for the final approach, where it zips around the sun, picks up speed. Once it's at the perihelion, you got 40 days before it arrives. And the last two weeks of the visual is where it really gets big visually. And it really gets scary. That's where the panic will happen within the last 2 to 3 weeks, because most people are not aware of this. And that's when they tell the public. They'll actually tell the public that this is a threat now at the 40-day warning, unlike Jonah's warning to Nineveh. Remember, Jonah didn't create one miracle. He pointed to the sky. He says, in 40 days, your doom comes. They already knew about this from the past history. And when he said that, they... fright went across them, and they all misrepented. Okay? It passed so close to earth that 40 days later is when the shadow went backwards for Hezekiah. So this, you may have heard, if you read in the Bible, you see a double eclipse mentioned multiple times. You see the sun is darkened and the moon is blood red. That's a double eclipse. But guess what? Double eclipses are not found in the natural. It takes a third object. Like whenever Yeshua was on the being sacrificed, there was a double eclipse happening. We have outside text that reference that as well. The sun went dark for 3 hours. The moon, this is Passover. The moon's on the opposite side of Earth. It's a full moon for Passover. You need a new moon to cause a solar eclipse. And you can't have them both at the same time unless you have a third object. And the object, the moon can only give you 7.3 minutes of darkness. This was 3 hours. It means it took a very large object to give you 3 hours of darkness. And it says the whole world went dark. Remember, they had shipping. People from different parts of the world that came in for shipping and to where they could say, look, we had an eclipse also. That's documented correctly. The whole world went dark for 3 hours. And the whole world shook when that quake happened. This is a... The stories of the Bible are not really stories. They're eyewitness accounts. Until that reality sinks in a little bit better, you won't catch the magnitude of this event. This is a very serious event coming towards us. And the pivot point will be near Jerusalem. If you're following the feast, you need to be there prior to Sukkot, the 2 weeks prior to the starting of Sukkot, because that's when the flu season starts, right at around Sukkot. And Israel will cause people to go 14 days into quarantine if you go then. And you stay there for the next 6 months, because you know it's no longer a practice run, because you see the sign in the heaven that he said he promised he'd give us a sign in the heaven. This is it. You stay there until Passover. And 3.5 days after, the two prophets appeared during Passover, the two witnesses, 3.5 days or 3 days, whichever way you want to count, is when the planet crosses, and that's where you have the 3 days of darkness. During the time of the two prophets appearing for Passover and the time Yeshua comes to pick up the bride and the bridesmaid, there's no TV or radio crew announcing the arrival of the two brothers, because you're in the tail of the plasma. All generators, all electronics globally have to be turned off, otherwise they'll fry. So this plasma hitting the atmosphere, there'll be charged particles, and it's just like an EMP wave. So this is a private meeting. Whoever shows up in Jerusalem is a private meeting with the two witnesses, and a private meeting when Yeshua shows up to bring it to a place of safety in the wilderness. This is not the rapture. The rapture is 1,236 days later, where all of the believers, the dead and the living, are brought up. This is only a remnant, and this is only the breathing, the people who are alive. So that's the pivot point of the tilt. If you're not at the pivot point of the tilt, let's say you're 90 degrees from the pivot point of the tilt, you're looking at when Earth tilts 26 to 28 degrees, you can do the math on this, you're looking at 300 mile plus winds maximum at the 90 degree mark. And it phases less at each degree until you get to nearly zero at the points of the pivot. So the least effect on Earth would be near the pivot point. The least quakes, the least tilt, the least flooding. Bible says not to be on any coastline anywhere globally. That includes large lakes as well. No shoreline, because your lakes and your oceans are going to slosh around. It's going to be the most devastating time period for Earth. I turn it back to you.
Gil, before I open up the floor for others to ask you questions, do want to address the disinformation that's out there on the internet. And I know there's people all the time saying they've sighted this planet, it's there already, but we know it's not yet. And so from my
Correct.
Point of view, it's almost like it's purposeful disinformation being put out to make the people not pay attention. So when it does arrive, they're not looking anymore. And so it's almost purposeful, I think, that they're doing that. Anyway, I'll let you discuss that issue.
Okay, I think there might be one or two or disinformation, maybe, you know, just a few. But most, just like a mirage in a desert, some people will walk towards it. It's not that they're trying to fool you. They just don't know any better. A sun dog and lens flares and camera glitches where it reflects within the body of the camera are all common things that an astronomer who does astrophotography is quite aware of, and or any amateur astronomer. I mean, amateur astronomers know it. Amateur photographers know it. But the average person, the average Joe on the street doesn't know this. So they're chasing after this mirage. Yes, it's real visually, but it's not real in substance. Whenever you zoom in on a mirage, it gets blurry. When you zoom in on a real object, it gets sharper. You can't take a telescope and look at one of these sun dogs or these lens flares without it getting blurry. That has no validity in a real object. And no matter if you tell them this, they won't accept it. Because they're too lazy to go do their own research on what a lens flare is and photograph, a little knowledge of photography and everything. And this was done way before there was any knowledge about this planet. Photography is aware of this. People that do photography. And if they're amateur, this is nothing new to them. But it's new to these amateur iPhone users trying to capture a planet. There is no valid sighting at the moment of this planet. We have 2 to 3 million amateur astronomers globally that the government does not control. This is why the internet has to go down. Because if it would be there, we would be taking sharp images and measurements and tell you exactly its orbital path, its size, and give you actual sharp images to show you. There's 2 to 3 million amateur astronomers globally. Are they saying anything that if it? No, because it's not there yet. Only thing you see is people who are mistaken on what think is a planet, and they will not take correct answers. They think you're against them by giving them correct answers, you know? So take it for whatever it's worth. It is definitely not there. Otherwise, I would hand you a picture right now. I'd show it to you. Not there right now. Turn it over to you again.
Let's go to Roger Waters. Roger, do you have a question to ask? You got your phone.
Yes, sir. Gil, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
With our conversations in the past, we have talked a lot about the biblical aspect of this. Just how significant would you say for those who don't believe, wholeheartedly that this thing is for real, how would you explain to them the significance of how all this plays into the book of Revelation?
It's so exact that I'm telling you that they didn't know Kepler's law of the planetary motion. They didn't know the model tells you the sequence of events as it approaches. if you use the right physics. There's no way they can guess this accidentally. And keep in mind, Enoch's calendar was during the time of Adam, before the flood. When this second event hits us, 150 days later, where one of the meters is the size of a mountain that hits Earth, says the Earth is cracked. Earth wobbles like a drunk, like a hunted in wind. Every wall on Earth is cracked. And your time has changed. It pushes Earth slightly closer to the sun, where you end up having a 364-day year. Now, nowhere in history has 364-day been documented. If you read Enoch, he's given a vision at the beginning of his story. He says, I see seven portals, seven different visions he's given. That's for the future. Now, how can someone about 4,000 to 5,000 years ago give you something that accurate for a future event? How can the 14 events that I'm pointing out in the biblical, or 15 events in the biblical reference, if you look at them carefully, they're data points that helps you understand the last book of the Bible. It's integrated. The knowledge is integrated and cross-linked and provable by science and provable by artifacts and provable by the patriarch's ages, because they're consecutive. It says when they had their sons. It's provable to the time, the cosmic clock, as this is rotating around. I was a hardened skeptic when I started this, that there was no, because what I saw on the internet was not valid. They had no substance to what they were saying. It was not meeting a proper astronomy. They had no Kepler law. They had no model. They were just pointing anywhere in the sky. No, an object has an orbit. It's going to follow a sequence. And until I found the Asian records of 1054 and saw that this was not a supernova they were looking at, because the supernova was spotted a couple of months earlier for only a week viewing. This object, which was later, was seen for 26 months, 13 months coming in, 13 months leaving. And it had an orbital path that you could plot, and it happened to have 150 days between entry and exit on Earth's orbital path. Tell me the odds of the Asians, we're talking about the Chinese, the Japanese, and the Koreans documenting this. Now, this is the emperor's astronomers. If you put something wrong in the record of the king, the emperor, you get your head cut off. There's a story in there where one of the astronomers, after a feast at his post, he fell asleep. The guard reported him. He lost his head the following morning. Because the emperor wants accurate information. So each emperor would have maybe 10 to 20 astronomers. So you're looking at a team of 60 before they would write it into the king's book, the emperor's book, so they wouldn't lose their heads, would agree upon this. Solid information. Because you can plot it, and it makes sense. You take the same orbit and apply to all these past events, it explains it. Just like the Almighty, when Moses and the Israelites came to the Red Sea, you notice he didn't tell them to walk on top of the water. It says a great wind from the east parted the water, and they walked on dry land. Pillar of fire stopped the Pharaoh's men and him. These are real events. Now, if the Father in heaven wants to use nature, the water, the pillar of fire, and everything, that's his domain. This is his universe that he created. He can use any part of it that he wishes. He uses the moon to tell us what time it is and the planets. He uses all of this stuff. Why not this planet? Because keep in mind, Yeshua didn't tell the Romans, it's all nice and dandy talking to me here, but I got an appointment with this planet that's going to cause 3 hours of darkness. Could you crucify me in time for this? He didn't answer them. Came exactly at the time, 3 hours of darkness. Then it light came back on for him to bury him. The quake to open the grave. About 3 days later is where it appeared very close to earth, scaring the Romans and everything. Causing a double eclipse, causing the Romans to fall on their knees. I guarantee you, when this thing comes back again, a lot of people are going to fall to their knees again. Like I said, I started this off as a hardened skeptic. It's quite easy from an engineering background and trigonometry and all of this data. It's quite easy to catch a fake. This data is not fake. That's listed in these accounts in the Bible. The math works. Whenever you make something fake, the math doesn't work. They're going to have a flaw in it. I can't find a flaw in the biblical records if I go to the original Hebrew. We do have some interpretational errors, but that's different. The original text states it correctly. Just like in the King James, it says it was a sundial. It doesn't say that in original. It says the sun went backwards on steps. That's a totally different scenario because a sundial gives you an east to west stop. All of the oceans would have emptied out onto the continent. That didn't happen. But when it's the sun going back on steps, that's a north to south direction. So the sun has to come in from the south through a window, through a portal to cause a shadow on the steps. And it went back 10 steps. But that's a 26 to 28 degree tilt. And we have proof of the same type of tilt, 26 to 28 degrees, in Joseph of Egypt during the middle of the 7-year drought called the Nebra Sky Disk. Okay? Remember where he had a dream at age 17? That the sun, moon, and stars bowed to him? Well, I have a problem with that text. How do you see the stars if the sun is out? Now he's age 40 in Egypt. Now his dream comes true. Earth tilted because the sun is blotted out. So there's an eclipse. And when it comes next to us, it tilts. Earth tilts 26 to 28 degrees as the Nebra disk proves out. There's a constellation on there that you can't see from Germany unless Earth tilted 26 to 28 degrees. These are eyewitness accounts in the Bible. Questions?
Thank you, Gil. I think you answered that one very well. Let's go to Jim Carpenter. Jim Carpenter, do you have any questions?
Wow, excellent presentation. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm just sitting back trying to absorb all the new information, and there's nothing I could add. I'll yield. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to David Hertler. David Hertler, do you or Gene have a question for Gil Bazard?
Gil, it's just an honor for you to be on the program tonight. Fire is supposed to... I think be pretty prevalent on the earth. Can you speak into that in the latter days?
You said a virus?
Well, the fire. Is there going to be
okay? The fire?
Yeah.
Yes, it says a fiery hail.
Yeah.
Remember, they don't have modern terms like planet. You know, they call the planet a wandering star. In Greek, when you're looking at Helios. Helios means illuminated object. It could be a sun or it could be a comet. It doesn't necessarily exclusive to the sun. So when it says Helios, the moon at the foot of Virgo, and the sun is illuminating Virgo. Not necessarily the sun. And the word Helios meant illuminated object. And the model shows the tail of the comet illuminating only Virgo. The sun illuminates all objects. See? So it's telling us, it's giving us the exact time frame. Keep in mind, the constellation shifts over every 2,000 years, roughly. That during Passover, 2,000 years ago, it wasn't Virgo. It was the scales of Libra. The scales meant paying off a debt or judgment scales, okay? That's what it's for Yeshua's sacrifice. Now, it's the bride, the woman, Passover, with the moon at her feet. And these are significant signs. They, fiery hail was their way to say meteors. You can find that mentioned multiple times in the Bible as well. And it says also in Revelation, the sun is darkened and the moon is blood red. That's a double eclipse. How do you get a double eclipse in the natural? Eclipse is singular, not plural. Because it takes one to do the other, unless you have a third object involved. So you're looking again for about anywhere from 3 hours to 3 days. So I hope I answered your question for you.
You did. Thank you so much, sir.
Yep.
David, does Jean have a question she'd like to answer? I mean, ask. She needs to do it on your phone. I'll come back to her. Dean Henning, do you have a question you'd like to ask?
Thank you, President Geiger. Gil, very interesting to listen to you share all your research with us. I did take time to look at your website to try to educate myself a little bit. No way have I studied as much as you have, and I appreciate what you've done, sir. I do have a question. One of your videos stated that when the Planet X passes, I believe it was in March, between March and April, 5 months later, there'll be another planet called, the Bible calls it Wormwood, and that'll be colliding with the Earth.
It's not a planet. It's an asteroid. It doesn't say that it's a planet. You have to understand, if you ever looked at an asteroid in a museum, it looks like wood that worms had gotten to it, but it's metal. You know, you ever seen that? That's a perfect description that they're using to describe like an asteroid. And it's a mountain size. Planets are not mountain size. Okay, they're bigger than that. A mountain-sized object is like an asteroid hitting Earth. So it's not multiple planets. We may have moons or objects. It says it's seven heads. But after March, it's on its way out into deep space. 5 months later, you know, the object is nowhere around. You're running into the debris field that's left behind. There's millions and millions and millions of miles of the debris field, because it goes through the two asteroid belts, the Kuiper belt and the asteroid belt that's in between Jupiter and Mars. You have a bunch of debris that Earth has to pass through.
Thank you for your question, Dean. I'm going to go back and see if Gene Hertler had a question. Gene, do you have a question for Gil?
She does not, but I've got a quick question. What does September 23rd, 2017 mean to you, Gil?
A wrong observation. That's what that means.
Okay, thank you.
Point of order, real quick. Remember, you have to stay with the orbital path. orbital path does nowhere come near Earth in September. It's either very early April or latter part of March. Most of these are March events. It's well established that this thing is going to be, if you're going to have anything coming near Earth for it to tilt, for it to slow us down by 12, it has to be a March event.
Thank you.
One other point I would add to that is that there's a mechanism where the two bodies cannot collide in March. The Almighty added a mechanism in there where they cannot collide. Now, the astronomers, when they're doing straight math with their present wrong model, they're going to think that these two planets are going to collide. They're going to, their paths are crossing directly head-on collision. But they don't take into account the physics that the tail of the comet is plasma. You have to look at my model. I have a video that shows the orbital path as they're coming together. The tail is pointing opposite of the sun. The orbital path is to a different direction, the orbital path of the planet. And the tail swings. It always points opposite of the sun. But this is where Earth is entering into the tail of the comet. But the path is in front of Earth, and that slows our forward speed down by a couple hours, and it slows our rotational speed by 12 hours. So we don't end up with a head-on collision. We have a close call where it causes Earth to tilt 26 to 28 degrees. Remember where it says men's heart fail for what they anticipate? That's coming upon the Earth. That's why. Remember this, every second, if you understand how God controls everything to every second, don't worry about it. So we will get scared, but stand your ground whenever you're in Jerusalem waiting for the Messiah. The ones who run, they're meant to run. He's going to put fright into their mind, and they're not supposed to be there. Anybody who's not supposed to be part of the bride and the bridesmaid will run, because he will make sure that they run. But the ones who do stay there, remember who's in control of this. Adam in the universe is controlled by the Almighty on its timing and everything. Because it says, remember, this, the book of Revelation was written 2,000 years ago. Remember where it says, mid of night? That's after a 12-hour rotational delay. That's not midnight on your watch. That's mid of that night. That night will be a half a day longer. It's still counted the same day in Hebrew. Hebrew is from sunset to sunset. It's the same day, but that night, that's why the wise bridesmaids have two portions of oil. Portion of oil is supposed to get you through one night of 12 hours. The wise have two portions. The foolish don't. They have one. They miss the appointed time whenever the Messiah arrives. Because, and when does the Messiah arrive? Exactly when they're refilling their lamp. They already burned 12 hours. That's mid of that night. That's important. That's one of the key factors. Don't change a dot or a tittle. Each word is specific. Now, that was written 2,000 years ago to give you to the exact minute on when it was going to happen. Tell me how that is possible.
I think you did. Let's go to Mark Binder. Mark Binder, you have a question for Gil Bizard.
Sure. Yes, I do. Thank you. Hi, Gil. I was wondering if Planet X is classified as a dwarf planet made out of metal. I think that's my knowledge. Comets are kind of icy, made out of ice stuff. Solid ice mass, and if it is a dwarf planet, with classification, about how close does it come to Earth? And as far as planet length, how many planets away from Earth do you think it might come?
Okay, that's a good question. Let me give you the latest information, okay? If you look up on Google, look up what a comet is, it's wrong, okay? That's the present astronomy model. The physicists have a better model, and it's been proven to be correct, but the Almighty created a live example of it for us to know this. When if you look at that video, ice particles do not throw lightning bolts toward the planet. Electrical discharges do, and the planet will act like a capacitor. Okay? The coma around a comet is plasma. Erodes the surface. It turns it into nanoparticles. Okay? So if it's made out of soft material like Earth is, this thing would have disappeared many, many, many years ago. It would have just eroded away. But if it's metallic in nature, and that's the only thing left, that takes a long while for it to erode with plasma, okay, because it's only dealing with the surface. So it's metallic in nature, and it's not ice particles, it's plasma. And that changes everything as far as your models, everything. The distance that it'll travel between Earth and the Moon, you're looking at 30 Earth diameters. Okay? If you put, you could put 30 Earths in between the Moon, and that's a quarter of a million miles right there. It'll approximately pass somewhere around the mid of that area, maybe even closer. And it'll have a magnetic attraction that causes, it's just like two bar magnets. As they approach each other, they tilt towards each other. And then as it passes, then it starts to straighten itself out again. That's the tilt, the 26 to 28 degrees. After we stop, the tilt happens. There's a sequence of events that happen. And so... roughly, it's technically, if you want to call it, it's going to thread the needle. It's going to pass between the Moon and the Earth. I turn it back to you now.
Thank you, Gil. Let's go to Roger Waters for a final question. Roger, do you have a question? You got your...
Yes, sir. Gil, thank you for coming on. It's been an extreme pleasure to have you here. Personally, I value everything that you have said. I appreciate the amount of study and hard work that you put into this, because this is a lifelong passion for you. And to get the word out, you have a lot of kooks out there who will take what you say and just run rampant with it, and basically make you a laughing stock. That's what they want to do. I can guarantee you that here in the Republic, we will not take that approach. We will take everything that you have given us. We will take it to heart. We will take it to consideration. We are firm believers in God's word. We are firm believers that Yeshua is the Son of the living God, and that everything that he has said is 100% accurate, because he is the living word. And the only other thing I would have you address would be, is there any way Earth could ever get out of something like this? Or is this a preset motion handed down by the Creator? Start everything and then to finish everything. Is that pretty much the way you see it?
This was planned from day one. Each one of these events, this is not random. Remember, every atom is controlled by them, the timing, everything. You can't write something 2,000 years ago and tell you the exact hour, mid of night. You can't write a calendar to the time of Adam and say your year is going to be changed to 364-day year without someone who's outside of time knowing exactly when things are happening, okay? That should give a person comfort no matter how devastating this might be. Now, this is not, the earth does not get destroyed. The end of man governing earth is knocked down, where the Messiah can come in and manage it. Okay? The earth will stay here for another 1,000 years before the evil ones are judged a second time. They're judged, then they put on the old earth, and they're cast into outer darkness. That's at the end of the 1,000-year reign. Then we watch the Almighty make a whole new earth and a whole new atmosphere, 3 to 4 days. Okay? Because light, all matter originated from light. Okay? And if you understand physics, when it says the Father is, he has no form. He has no image. He was never created, cannot die, always existed. But that parallels the properties of energy. Energy cannot be created, cannot be destroyed, always existed. And if you study physics enough, you'll know that matter came from light. Energy. So he's all around you. The Father knows every heart and every emotion of every animal and human being and where everything is on earth, because it is him. We're a thought. We're kind of like we're a thought in his mind. He is so vast. And if he ever wanted to make us disappear, he just blank his mind off. We're gone. This is like a hologram made specifically for Yeshua and his descendants, the human beings here. Everything else around it, the focus of creation was just to have a place for Yeshua and his descendants to live on right here. Everything else was associated, built in direct reference to earth. It's the center of his creation, but not the literal sense of the center, but the center, the focus point of his creation. And as long as you follow his instructions, that's why he gave us the feast. That's the wrong word. It means dry rehearsals, actually, what it means. When we see a sign in the heaven, now we know it's no longer a dry rehearsal. That's going to be a real event. That Sukkot, we will be living in proper tents, not these little palm ferns over there where it rains on you. You need something that you need to be able to live in, because you're going to be there for winter for 6 months. And we may have to bring that into the wilderness wherever he brings us. Don't know. It says that angels are coming with him. They'll probably help us move to wherever we need to go into the wilderness. Remember when they came out of Egypt? They didn't leave the elderly behind. They didn't leave the infirm and the sick behind. They didn't have to whip the animals to go. They walked for 3 days and 3 nights without stopping. That's a miracle in itself. And they weren't tired at the end of that. He gives you the energy because not even Pharaoh in his chariots could catch him. It's going to happen again. We're going to have help from angels. We're going to have the energy. We're going to have our energy back to a level that we can do things. You're going to see miracles again. The two witnesses are going to do healings. Multiple things. This is going to be an awesome event, but you got to be in Jerusalem to observe it. Because there's 7 feasts, and there's 3 of them are required to be in Jerusalem for this event. You have Sukkot to get you there. The stragglers will try to get. Remember when it says don't make your trip in the winter? That's a translational error there. That's a Greek mindset right there. A Hebrew only had 2 seasons. The Greeks, the Babylonians, the Romans had 4 seasons. The Hebrews only had hot and cold seasons. So when it says don't make your trip in the winter, it's not talking about the last 3 months before Passover. It's talking about the last 6 months before Passover. So in other words, you're going to stay there from Sukkot to Passover. You have to have a Hebrew mindset on the culture, the terms, the astronomy, everything has to work together. See, in the right place at the right time. And it happens to be the pivot point of the tilt, the least effects. Because he already knows it. He controls every atom. We follow his instructions. We're not in harm's way. But there, if some people like this, there's a group that's inviting me to go to Jordan, that they plan to meet the Messiah on the way to Petra. Well, I got multiple issues with that. Two, it doesn't say definitely Petra is going to be the place. And it definitely says, the Messiah says, meet me in Jerusalem. And it says that he chooses who he wants to go into the wilderness. Well, it sounds like you're negating his choice and you plan to meet him in Petra. That's the height of arrogance. You need to follow his plan exact. Said meet him in Jerusalem. He comes meet us there. Then he guides us into the wilderness, to the place of safety, wherever that might be. I hope I answered your question.
Okay, I think we can say next year in Jerusalem, right, Gil?
Well, like I said, be a watchman on the wall. The internet is not going to be up. When we see it, we'll know it. But put it this way, if we have a Dinar blessing, I have no reason not to be in Jerusalem for Sukkot, because it's always been a financial issue, and it won't be anymore. That means I'll be there anyway if it's a practice run. Fine. I'm not disappointed. But if I see that planet, it's not going to be a practice run. It will be, you have to have your tents and all of your comfortably, you know, out of a tent for possibly as long as 6 months. Because the buildings over there are not going to be safe. They can't be shaken. They're made out of stone blocks. They are not earthquake proof. And that's why there's tents. You live in a tent. When a tent collapses on you, it doesn't hurt you. When a stone building collapses, you have a problem. So every word has a reason. Don't forget it.
Gil, I think reading between the lines here, you're telling us to be responsible ourselves for the sighting of this planet, because, you know, the communications may not be up. So it may be upon our own heads to be looking for it and know where to look for it and what time of day to look for it, that kind of thing, right?
Absolutely correct. Because remember, if and when martial law is pronounced, let's say we have terrorism and martial law has to be placed in there. Guess what? One of the laws in martial law is that you cannot cause a panic. You mean that, in other words, even if the internet was up, if I was to say, look, planet is sighted, they would arrest me and throw me under the jail. And they'd arrest you if you're doing that too. You can do it privately amongst your group, each other, that, hey, here it is. We can see it. You can point to it. It's going to look like a comet. And it can only be on the ecliptic. Remember, there's three fixed points, the center of the sun where all objects will orbit from. Then you have 2 points on Earth's orbit it has to cross. That's three fixed points. Mathematically, it can't get off the ecliptic. So you're looking for an object, a thin line across the zodiac constellations. It has to be on that line. And it's going to look like a comet. But the problem with this, you know, comet is going to be a big one. But you won't be able to tell that whenever you first see it. But you'll be able to see it for a very long time. A comet is normally seen for maybe a couple of weeks and then it disappears. That's a week coming in and a week leaving, maybe three at the most, with naked eye observation. not this one. We'll have 6 to 8 months of it viewing. I think it will probably run exactly 7, but we might have a little bit more than that. The Asians, without any light pollution or interference from the government, they had 13 months coming in visual. Because the telescope was not invented yet. That's naked eye observation. So we each need to be our own watchman. The Bible says, if you're a watchman and you see it and you don't warn people, he says every death that occurs is on your head. But if you do warn them and they don't pay you heed, then there's no fault that's going to be labeled on you. So if you see it and you don't say, you know, help people understand what is going on, you're at fault. Their life is on your head. You would be judged as if you murdered them. So, yes, we do have a responsibility.
Yes, this is Joseph Gibson, podcasting
and
live, 7:52 p.m. on
any,
the East Coast,
any
with Republic
skeptic.
Radio and ForThePeople.com.
Because of what the common data that is out there is flawed, seriously flawed. It doesn't meet astronomy. But the data I put together, I'll stand up toe-to-toe with any skeptic, show the evidence, show the math, break out the calculator, break out the software. I even show you the software images. Nobody else is showing you software images of how the model is put together, where the data is coming from. I state the white paper report, all of this. I do not hold back the data unless there's a copyright on it by someone else. Then I'm forced to. But then I tell you where to get it. You can see where to get it. But if someone is not open and can't prove where they're finding this and how they're coming to these conclusions, walk away from them. If they're selling, oh, you have to buy the book before I'll tell you, walk away from them. I give this free. The PDFs are all free. Anything on the video can be cited in one of my videos that I make for free on the YouTube channel. But people who wanted a more tailored, more professional made, there is a producer out of California that took time to make it. A man is worth his labor. He puts in the equipment, he puts in the time, he makes the DVDs. That's for him. That's fine. A man is worth his labor. That's his way of making a living as well, producing videos. And you can go, they got a chart there. They have one DVD that's where I go through and explain each one of these charts. They don't have the new ones that I've just found, but it goes through and walks you through all of the details. But my phone is open to anybody that has a brain. I have to qualify that. And they got some people out there that's not fully functional. And I just don't want to, you know. But anyone that has, especially engineers, science, astronomers, anybody that can do the math or has logic behind them, I always have an open ear to this. Turn it back to you.
Well, it's been about an hour and a half, Gil, and maybe it's time for you to tell the folks how they can look at your material. I know you have a website, so go ahead and tell them how to find you.
You can on a website. It's planet7x.net. DVDs are at the top, but if you go down to the bottom, there's a Google Drive link. You click on that link and you can download the free graphic book. The graphic gives you the timeline and what's taking place. Give you chapter and verse where the particular, like the double eclipses or where the shadow went backwards on the steps and so on and so on, where you can turn to that chapter and read the whole details of the story out of the Bible. It makes the seeing what's taking place on my charts makes the Bible, you can picture what they're saying now and how it's coming alive. This is an integrated message. This is not random stories. And then if you want to hear some of my interviews, you go to YouTube, Planet 7X channel, and you can listen to any of my interviews. The longer ones are 3 hours, where I go to I can't think of the name at the moment, but I'll walk through each chart. And then I have a Facebook page, Gil Broussard, where I post some of my latest findings as it's occurring. But if y'all have any questions in the future, again, we can get together. I'll be more than glad. If I don't have an answer, I don't make one up. I'll just say it. The data is lacking. We don't have an answer for that. But if we do have a model and it does work, I'll be more than glad to share it.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Gil. It's been a blessing, and it's an honor to have you. I mean, we appreciate the work you've done and devoting the last 14-plus years of your life to this. And this work you're doing is going to ultimately save a lot of folks. Make their way all the way into the kingdom.
Well, the Bible says a scary word. It says a remnant. And that's
right.
Not going to change. Only a remnant makes it. I'd like to correct one thing from the older data. I gave estimates between it being between 5 to 7 times the diameter of Earth. That was if it was made out of the same material as Earth, but it's not. We can see the strong magnetic field that it has, and then it's a comet, that it's a metallic object. So you're looking at something maybe 1.5 to 3 at the most times the diameter of Earth. It has a larger magnetic field than Jupiter at the moment. But that's Jupiter's core. That's not the lighter material that it's made out of. So, so we're looking for a comet-like object. Keep that in mind.
Maybe our next show we can talk about our speculation on the cosmic origins of this object. It's a lot to contemplate there.
Well, it has an orbit roughly about 94 to 98 astronomical units out. That's about 3 times further than Neptune. It has a very narrow elliptical orbit. And I have charts. You can share these with everybody. Remember, these charts are free. Put it out there for people to read and look at. I don't mind criticism because, of course, they'll start off with criticism. But as they dig deeper, if they're interested, they dig deeper, their attitude will change. And the I have some charts that shows you where to look in the sky and roughly where it is in its orbital path each month. So it tells you where to look. I even give data if you have a Starry Night Pro, how to set up an orbital path of it. You have to, so all the data, I mean, I'm not holding back anything. That's for people to have because this is a life or death matter. And for them to understand that these are not vain religious feasts. No, they're actual rehearsal patterns to get you in the right place at the right time. And these are not vain religious stories. These are eyewitness accounts. And his laws are not to be discarded. They're the way you're supposed to live your life. That's not a religion. These are laws that you're supposed to be adopting to live your life correctly. So I hope the message is passed clearly. I hope I was clear. But if I'm not, you're welcome to ask questions in the future.
Thank you, Gil. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Good night, everybody.
All right, everybody. All right, here we go. Let's see. What happened here? They must have queued out here earlier. They told me 15 minutes. All right, well, understanding the times in which you live today, Block Talk Radio. Let's see here. We had the ForThePeople.com on here. They had this guy that was a scientist on, obviously, that wanted to talk about the wormwood, and I kind of disagree with him, but I was kind of boxed out of there. I don't know why and what happened, but obviously I'm back on now for the last 15 minutes of the show. Supposedly. So if anyone wants to call in, the phone number is 657-383-0616, press number 1. You got 11 minutes to call in. Anytime after that, you won't be able to call in. Press the number 1, okay? And we'll get you in there. All right, let's see here. Let me go ahead. That unmuted again. All right, let's see. You play a little bit of audio here real quick.
President recognizes Mr. Adams of Massachusetts.
Objects of the most stupendous.
Understanding the times in which we live today. If you missed the show earlier, we began at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We had ForThePeople.com with Gator on there. He was the host of that podcast. And then we had the Republic Radio 101. We had them on, and they brought forth a guest tonight that wanted to talk about the Planet X, I guess, or the planet there, or he's a scientist, I guess, and he's got some back end. He talks about this project. I don't know too much about it, really. I listened to what I could because I was busy for the most part of the show. So I what I did was I simulcast and then monitored the chat room a little bit and then had the other social media networks answer some questions for them. So the show was not pre-recorded, by the way. We get some... several people in the chat room that state it's pre-recorded. All right, press the number 1 if you want to make a comment here tonight. If you want to, that's fine. If not, that's okay, too. Let's see here. God's Rainbow Ministries, I think he's doing a show here right now, right? Maybe we should give him a call, huh? Call him live on a show. You think he'd answer if I gave him a call live? You know, I don't know what I'm going to get for phone calls here tonight. Where the heck is, let's see, what's his number here? God's Rainbow Ministries. Where the heck is this? I got it in here in a file. Maybe give him a call. Let's see, what do I got for callers on here tonight? Let's see here. What do I got? Let's see. All right, we got a couple here, so we'll try one. Go ahead, private caller. What's on your mind? Go ahead.
Good evening. This is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura. How are you doing, Joseph?
Yeah. Where are you?
I'm in the
You say you're Dr. Peter Ventura. I highly doubt that, sir. I highly doubt that.
This is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura.
It is. How old are you, sir?
My good brother.
How old are you?
Well, I won't give my exact age, but I'm in my 60s.
In your 60s, yeah. What year did you and I meet, actually, since you know me so well, good buddy?
We met the year of my first rape, the first time I held
a knife. That's not an answer, sir. That's not an answer. What year did we meet?
Let me finish, Joseph.
You're not going to give me any verifiable information, so therefore you're just a cranker harassing me, harassing my podcast.
A cranker?
Okay, yeah, a crank caller. Yes, that's what you are. Spoofing your caller ID. Well, yeah, you're calling from a block number. So why waste my time with people like you? Makes no sense. Well, yeah, you probably know, no doubt about it.
Well, 1991. Want to
be
Joseph.
Undercover fed? Joseph. I don't know. Whatever you want to be in life,
Joseph.
I don't know. But you've broken so many laws, I can't even count them. So, but you know, just keep doing
Joseph,
what you do. Have some fun. You're driving. It sounds like so.
1991.
Take a left turn off of a bridge. Do me that favor, okay? See you later, buddy. Have fun. All right, anyway, yeah, he's, boy, oh boy, I tell you, they don't give up, do they? They just won't listen, and they won't stop. You know, they just want to continue to harass the show. But again, if you missed the show earlier, it was a pretty good show, very informational. Let's call God's Rainbow Ministries. Let's see what's going on with him tonight, see what he's preaching. Give him a call live, and we'll see what the deal is with him. Maybe he'll take my call, I don't know. We'll give him a shot here. Let's try him first, and then we'll take some more calls and wrap up the show here tonight. So go ahead, let's call him.
Blog Talk Radio. Your show is scheduled to start in 36 minutes.
Please call back within 15 minutes of scheduled showtime.
Thank you for using Blog
he's
Talk Radio.
Okay.
Goodbye.
All right, he's not even on. I thought he was on. Somebody told me he was on. I guess he's not. All right. All right, private caller. Go ahead, private caller.
Hey, Joey. It's Mike from the chat room. Put a comment in there earlier to ask if you would do one day this month a show about mass incarceration and share some of your own stories. I think that would be interesting, and I bet you have some really good stories. There's some YouTube channels that do, like, after prison show. And they talk about, you know, they have guests on with their stories. And I just thought you could do mass incarceration. It's a huge topic. And I don't know how much expertise you have in that area, but would like to hear your opinion on mass incarceration and would love to hear some of your personal stories, like guys getting, you know, stabbed or other crazy stuff you might have seen.
Well, I'd be happy to do that for you, Mike. You know, obviously I get plenty of stories in my book. You know, the books, I mean, if you don't believe the book, I mean, I don't know why anybody wouldn't. There's actual federal court transcripts in the book. There's incident reports in the book. There's state police arrest warrants in the book that are there by and verifiable. All you got to do is look them up. So so there's plenty of stories there. But if you don't want to buy the book, that's fine. I'd be happy to do a prison show and talk about mass incarceration and why does it have to be mass incarceration, though? What's your meaning by mass incarceration?
Well, I notice they keep building all these private prisons, and there's a whole story behind it. Like, the guys that are profiting from it, you know, that the shareholders
okay.
and these excuse my language, some of these motherfuckers are making money putting guys like us in prison and keeping us there because.
Yeah.
They're making money, and that should be, I'm sure, a gripe of yours. And, hey, there's some guys – you got some guys that, you know, listen to your show that some of us have been locked up. And, you know, I mean, you could have – you know, I mean, I don't want to name drop. There's somebody I'm thinking of. I don't want to say his name, but I won't say his name. But some of us, you could have call in and share maybe some of our stories and – I have not read your book, but if you could share some of your some of the crazy stuff. I mean, you've seen some shit in there that you could tell some of those stories that haven't read your book, and I think it would be very interesting.
I agree.
And expose some of these for-profit, you know, you got private prisons. We got more people incarcerated in this country than any other country in the world.
That's true.
And what are they doing about it? They're making more prisons.
Well, yeah, I can't say nothing. You're right. They're building more prisons. You're absolutely correct. In the state of Connecticut, that tiny little state, there's 19 prisons. You know, so 19 prisons in that tiny little state. So, yeah, man, I listen, if you're being sincere and honest and you think there's some people out there that want to – and look, we're going to get the jokes out there and everything about the rapes and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to be honest with you. There were people in prison that were homosexual, and there was sometimes people taking advantage of other people inside the prison. Yes, there was. And mostly it was not. It was mostly consensual. I'll tell you that right now. But it was illegal also, and if you got caught, you'd be thrown into segregation. So, yeah, that's a part of the prison life too, yes. But there was a lot of gang violence when I was in there, and a lot of things I did see with correctional officers and stuff like that. So, yes, there's a lot of stories that I can tell if people want to take it literally. Look, man, like you said, a lot of people get on the wrong side of the law for whatever reason it may be. They make mistakes. Look, even if you're homosexual, I don't care. You know, people make mistakes. And look, I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of the probation officers and parole officers really give homosexuals a hard time. You know, they give them a hard time when they, you know, try to get them locked back up. I saw that too, and I'm willing to give testimony to that. So I'm willing to stick up for them in that aspect. You know, so I don't have a problem dealing with that. I don't have a problem doing a show probably soon on that aspect, doing something about mass incarceration.
Yeah, that's cool. And then nowadays you got like crooked guards that bring in cell phones and they bring in, you know, drugs or whatever, all kinds of crap. And they make big money by smuggling this stuff in. And then the guys
you know how much
inside.
A pack of cigarettes cost? Well, at least when I was in there, when they outlawed cigarettes in there, you know what a pack of cigarettes would go for? At least $100. Because you'd sell each cigarette for $5. You'd do the little rolly thing, you know, the rollies, you know, and they'd roll them up in a toilet paper wrapper, and they'd sell rollies. And that's what they called it in Connecticut anyway. Yeah, and so they'd break down one cigarette, man, and freaking make a killing up, you know. So, yeah, but like you said, the guards would bring them in. And they would, you know, and then you'd send a money order to the guard on the street. You know, you'd have your family send them a money order, and that's how the guard got paid. Or if you knew someone that was a prison guard, you know. So, yeah, man, I totally agree with you. And the inmate suffers, and the inmate family suffers. I mean, they rape you on the phone calls there. I mean, it's just totally, it's crazy. I agree with you. I don't have a problem doing that in the near future.
That's great. And if you can maybe put the word out, some of your listeners out there, again, I don't want to mention people's names, but If you're going to do a show about prison, you know, prison stories and mass incarceration, and you got guys out there that have good stories, do a whole show on it. I bet you could get some great calls, people calling in with their personal stories, and also exposing the fact that we've got too many people locked up, and we need to. You know, I just can't see throwing some 18-year-old kid in there for a little bit of pot or, you know, took his dad's truck and had a couple beers and, you know, got pulled over and it's just, you know, so,